The voice of reason. The voice of common sense. America's voice is Steve Gruber.
All right, continuing now. This is the Democratic debate after party, the one you've heard so much about. You've got a ticket. Come on in, sit down. Sir, sit down. A lot of seating right down front, no problem, as we sort this all out. My next guest also evaluating what went on with the Democrats in Westerville, Ohio, last night. Mark Lauder is the Trump 2020 Director of Strategic Communications. Mark, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So I'll get to the debate, but I want to start with something else real quickly, and that is Moody Analytics. I don't know if you've seen these, but if you have, it must please the boss and it must please those in the campaign, because in all three of Moody's scenarios, in which they've been right every time except 2016, because they missed the turnout of the Trump voters, the anomaly, which they say they have now fixed quite simply, and they say he wins anywhere from 289 electoral votes to 351. I think they've been listening to the program here, because I've been saying he can pick up New Hampshire, he can pick up Minnesota, he can pick up Nevada. They throw Virginia in the mix. Anyhow, this is all based on the pocketbook, the stock market, the unemployment rate, all of these great economic numbers. Moody say Donald Trump wins in a landslide. Your thoughts?
I see that they're finally starting to catch on.
Yeah.
No, I mean, people have been voting with their pocketbooks. You know, I mean, James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. And it's been true going back for decades. I don't see why this year would be any different. And as what we saw last night, I mean, it's night and day. You have a group of 12 people out there that were talking about, you know, an America that is broken, an America that needs to be fixed. Well, I think most people see an America that's winning again.
And working.
The president.
Yeah, and working. Mark, you know, I talk to people all over the political spectrum. I talk to a lot of folks that say, you know what, I don't really like Donald Trump. I think he tweets too much. I don't really care for the guy, but I'm going to vote for him. And I think that's true across a wide swath of America. You've got the hardcore supporters, 40% or whatever, somewhere in that neighborhood. But then you've got this group down the middle that are like, they watched the debate last night, and you've got all of these far-left ideas kicking in your door, basically, take your guns. Take away your choice on health care. Raise taxes, because even if Elizabeth Warren won't admit it, everybody's smart enough to figure out it's going to raise your taxes dramatically. They can figure this out. And so for even people that say, you know, I don't care for Donald Trump, but look at the economy. Why would I change anything? That's the real takeaway for some of these people down the middle, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. And I think when you add to that, not only are they recognizing that America is winning, their paychecks are going up, but then when you look over at the other side, they've gone so far off the deep end. I mean, they've made Barack Obama look moderate, how liberal they've become. And most people are like, I don't want to give up my private health insurance. I don't think babies should be aborted up until the moment they're in
no.
their first breath.
No. At least somebody had the courage to say that last night. At least Tulsi Gabbard had the courage to say that on the stage last night. And, of course, she's probably going to be ostracized because apparently, you know, murdering children is part of our, you know, the platform for the Democrat Party. But go on.
Yeah, so many people, when I travel the country talking now and giving speeches, meeting people, I hear from people who say, look, I'm more middle of the road. I voted for a Democrat here and there, and I don't even recognize the Democrat Party anymore. It's not a party of working people.
Now, I also don't think that, let's talk about the other, you know, the elephant in the room, of course, is impeachment. But the fact of the matter is, first of all, you had an alleged whistleblower who had no firsthand knowledge, who now we're told isn't going to testify. Yeah, might submit something in writing. So you've got a whistleblower who didn't have firsthand knowledge. We call that gossip. Won't testify at all, so we won't even get this person on the record. The second whistleblower, whatever happened to that person, they've apparently vanished. We don't know what's going on there. But the Democrats still will not take a vote on the House. At some point, that runs out of gas completely, if it hasn't already, because it's going nowhere. Nobody believes that Donald Trump did something wrong. The majority of Americans don't believe Donald Trump did something wrong by talking to the president of Ukraine about corruption in his country. I just don't see it. Do you?
No. I mean, you first they accused him of quid pro quo. He releases the transcript. There was no quid pro quo. There was no pressure. There was no withholding of aid. In fact, the president of the Ukraine said he felt no pressure, and they didn't realize that the aid was being withheld. So,
hold on, Mark. I must jump in there. I've got to jump in because now we've got Adam Schiff saying, well, you don't need a quid pro quo. You don't? Because I thought that was the whole shooting match. You had to have a quid pro quo, and now Schiff said, well, you don't need that. Well, what do you need? Just a deep-seated hatred for Donald Trump? That's all you need for an impeachment? I don't think the American public buys that.
No, you're absolutely right. And then it was, well, you covered up. It was a cover-up. Well, he released the transcript.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is the worst hide-and-seek game ever when you're accused of actually releasing something, covering up something you released. And now, I mean, you look at the witnesses they're bringing in. It is just a bunch of deep state bureaucrats who are upset because he didn't listen to me and he had somebody else do something. And they're whining because he's doing things the way that he wants them done.
And I would look at their witnesses, but their witnesses are all being held in secret. I mean, we don't have any idea what's going on behind the closed door because they want it all held in secret. So you had secret testimony from secret witnesses, a whistleblower who we'll never hear from, who's anonymous and had no firsthand information, and then the second whistleblower disappears. Oh, and we don't actually need a quid pro quo. It's complete and utter garbage. And I think the American people get that. And I was at the rally in Minneapolis Thursday, and I can tell you, you've got another one coming up this week in Dallas, right? But I can tell you, I've been to a number of these so far this year, six or seven so far. They're getting bigger. They're getting louder. And if the Democrats can't see this enthusiasm building, they're willfully blind.
You're absolutely right. That's why we're not playing defense on states. We're playing offense. We're going to go out and win and flip those other states that we came so close in. And you see it happening. I was in Minnesota a couple of weeks ago giving a speech in another part of the state, a place where they were run by Democrats for decades. And they've all said, it was like a light switch came on. This is now a Republican area. It's Trump country.
Yeah, so Ilhan Omar and some of these others, they might find themselves in a bit of political trouble come 2020 November. They've all jumped behind Bernie Sanders. I see that's a losing effort. Elizabeth Warren, now the front runner. Clear front runner is Elizabeth Warren, unless somebody else gets into the race. And we've heard rumblings from Bloomberg, and heck, Hillary might even get back in. But for now, Elizabeth Warren, what do you make of that as the front runner?
Well, I think she's got a plan for everything, and Americans don't want it. I mean, she couldn't even be honest. She was asked 17 times last night if she would raise taxes on the middle class for her government takeover of health care. Everyone knows she will, but she won't bring herself to say it because she knows the politics looks bad.
Yeah, even MSNBC pointed out that it would take, if you took the entire Pentagon budget and gave it to her for this scheme, it would last 4 months. 4 months is all the entire Pentagon budget would cover of her scheme for health care. It doesn't work. Even MSNBC, the mainstream media groups that are normally behind the Democrats, they're handmaidens, are saying this doesn't work mathematically.
No, and Warren definitely struggled last night under the light and the harsh light of being the front runner. She couldn't be honest with the American people, and a lot of people were taking the fight directly to her. It was not a good night for her. Joe Biden was continuing in his free fall, stumbling through it. It'll be very interesting to see how this primary shakes out.
No, Joe Biden's done. That's it. That was the end of the Joe Biden campaign last night. When he was talking about clipping coupons for the stock market, I think we all went, what? Huh? And that was the end of the right. Mark, real quick, I'll give you the last word.
No, I think the big winner last night was Donald Trump. I think the American people see it. And the Democrats are really starting to scratch their heads because they've got no one out there on that stage that can go toe-to-toe with the president.
And there lies the problem. Or the advantage, Donald Trump. Mark Lauder, always a pleasure, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely, too.
There you have it. Mark Lauder, the Director of Strategic Communications for the Trump campaign. Some more and final debate post-party wrap-up right after this.
Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. A crucial role of the Michigan Chamber is to listen to our members, gain an understanding of their business challenges, and provide real solutions to help them succeed. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members who represent over 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all we do. We are proud to be the leading voice of business in Michigan. And together, we can make a difference to ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
For this latest installment of the Pioneer Audio Tour, I've hopped on one of their shuttle buses.
we're driving around the Johnston, Iowa campus, Pioneer's largest R&D center. I want to give you some sense of the scale of this place. There are research fields surrounding research buildings, one building after another. I've lost count. Right now, we're passing acres and acres of greenhouses. But what happens inside these buildings is even more enormous than what I can see from outside. Genotyping, predictive analytics, computer simulations, and more to bring you the next generation of Pioneer hybrids and varieties. So we've been driving now for 20 minutes already, and there's still more to see. The Johnston campus, one of the places that makes Pioneer, Pioneer. You'll hear more from me later. For now, let your local Pioneer sales representative hear from you.
You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine. Not really.
Buzz driving